Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's kind of funny how God gives you a few words to say. I guess it's not very funny, but not funny, ha-ha, but how everything works together. You know, and even the bulletin has a scripture on the front of it that I was going to use today in my sermon. And a man called me this morning and or sent me a text this morning and told me some things, and the words he told me were part of the words out of my sermon. It's just funny how God comes together and confirms what's going on, you know, that what he has told you. And I really truly believe that God has given me some words this morning to share with you all here at the church this morning. So we're going to go before the Lord in prayer before we start. So Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in your house this morning. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the Spirit moving in here already this morning. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that any words that I say or anything I do up here this morning, Lord, is of you. And Lord, that you touch lives and that you touch hearts, Lord. Whatever's done up here today is not of me, Lord, it's of you. And I just pray, Lord, that people are touched and lives are changed. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I've been around farming my whole life. My grandpa farmed, and he used to farm actually part of what's Lake Shelbyville now. But my grandpa Miller told me years ago that one time he was out cultivating popcorn with a team of mules. And he said it got so hot that the popcorn started popping. Oh. And he said the old mule thought it was snow and froze to death. But then grandpa also told me, he said, I'd never lie to you. He said, I might tell you the truth three or four ways, but I'd never lie to you. So. But that was my grandpa. But, you know, I love harvest time. Harvest time is an awesome time of year. You know, you get to reap what you've sown. You get to see all the hard work you've put in come forth. And, you know, signs of harvest. It's kind of cool that that's up there. You know, you see the corn start to change. You know, the leaves on the trees change. The beans, they begin to change and lose their leaves. The ears drop on the corn stalk. It's just pretty awesome time of year at harvest time. Yeah, but we have to be prepared for harvest. Harvest doesn't just happen. It just don't happen. It's something we have to prepare for. And I've got a few scriptures I want to read this morning, and I'm going to kind of be bouncing around here and there and yonder. So if you can keep up. If you with your Bibles, if you don't, just listen, and that's fine too. But in Genesis 8:22 is the scripture I'm going to start with. It says that while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. So this is something that's going to go on for the rest of this world, as long as this world's turning. Seed time and harvest time is going to continue. It's something we're going to have to do. But then if you turn all the way back in here to Luke in 10, verse 2, it says, then he said to them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. You know, how many times have we heard about it? You know, the not having the laborers to do the harvest. Anybody in here ever been shorthanded, trying to do a task, and you're shorthanded, and you know, it's kind of hard to do. You know, but in Genesis, this is actually Noah getting off the first cruise. You know, he'd been out on the water for 40 days and nights, and he's probably really grateful for the seed time and the harvest. He's probably tired of being on that water. You know, but then you get over here, get back here in Luke, and he's talking about there's not enough workers to go around for the harvest. So it's kind of two different mindsets there. But you know, there are two different kinds of people in this world. My grandma told me this, that, you know, there are those that show you how you want to be, and there are those who show you how you don't want to be. And there's a lot of truth in that. when you look around. You know, in farming terms, there's a lot of things that have to be done before you harvest. There's a lot of behind-the-scenes things. You know, you don't just go fire up the combine and go to the field, start harvest. There's a lot of things that you have to do. And believe it or not, the preparations for the 2019 harvest have already started. You know, you got to put on the lime and the fertilizer, till the soil. You know, in the winter months, a lot of times guys order their seed, service their equipment. In early spring, we get out field cultivators, get them ready, put new shovels on them. And then the planter, which is a very important piece of equipment. You got to go through it. You got to have it all set right. If your planter is set too deep, your seed's not going to come up. If it's set too shallow, it's not going to grow. So your planter plays a key role. Your spacing on your seed has to be set just right, and that's set on a planter. So if your planter's not set right, your harvest isn't going to be very good. You know, in late summer, we go around getting grain bins ready, make sure the fans and the dryers all work. Usually the combines are ready when we put them away. We're getting them ready now, so they'll be ready when we put them away for next harvest. But when we get them out, we still have to, you know, get it set for the desired crop, whether you're going to do corn or beans. You have to put the right head on the machine. Then these newer combines, you have to calibrate everything, and you got to get your computer all set up, and it's kind of over my head anymore. I keep plugging away at it, but it's getting a little more difficult every year to keep up. So, but that's our natural harvest. But how do we prepare for a spiritual harvest? Well, I think the first thing we need to do is told Matthew 6:33, and it says to seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. That's the first thing we have to do. We have to seek after God's own heart. You know, if we value God's reign in our lives, then he's going to be, and we diligently seek him, he's going to be there for us through thick and thin, whatever's going on. But also in Psalms 119:105, it says the word, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So wherever we're walking, if we're walking for the Lord, if we're in his will, we're going to have a light. Our path is going to be lit. But whenever which I have done, decide to take our own path, that light goes out. Our path is no longer lit because we're not walking in the Lord. You know, Brother Larry Cole said years ago, he said, I know when I'm in the will of the Lord because I just feel like I got a hand in my back just kind of pushing me along. And he says, when I'm not in God's will, it's like I'm walking against a strong wind. And I've thought about that a lot and a lot. And there's so much truth to that. That when we're with God, it's just everything just kind of flows. He's just pushing us along. If we don't seek God first and study his word, our harvest is going to be like going to the field with no equipment. And you know what that would be like. So let's go to in Galatians 6, 7, and 8. It says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. One thing's for sure, if we don't sow, we're not going to reap. The devil will tell you that you're not good enough. Anybody ever heard that? Ever felt inadequate? You're not enough? I've struggled with that my whole life. And he'll lie to you. You know, he just tells you you're not good enough. You can't witness. You can't lead a Bible study. You're not good enough to pray. You're not good enough to preach or teach. And he's a liar. I'm a child of God. And as long as I'm working in God's will, I can do anything I want to do and do it for the Lord. You know, you got to tell the devil who you are and whose you are. I know who I am today. I know who I am. And I know whose I am. And for many years, I walked around not knowing that. I did not know that at all. But I'm a child of the Most High God. My father has a cattle on 1,000 hills. You know, and you know, the devil, I just need to put him under my foot. Remember how they used to kill chickens? Pull their heads off?
He went to the devil.
Pull his head off. You know, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. You know, we gotta live this. We gotta get to believing in ourselves. There's a lot of Christians walking around beat down today. They don't believe the Word of God. You know, if we walk by sight, I mean, look at this world. I mean, if we walk by sight, that's enough to bring anybody down. We've got to walk by faith.
Amen.
But the most important part of sowing is the heart behind the gift. What's your heart like? Are you giving grudgingly? You know, are you upset about having to give? And the Bible says 10%. That's what I'll give. But I'm not giving any more. You know. How is your heart? You know, in 2 Corinthians, it tells us that if we sow sparingly and grudgingly, you will reap the same. If you sow generously, that's what you will reap with blessing. So, what are we sowing today? You know, in Galatians, where we were just at, in 6:9, it says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we don't lose heart." You know, my mom and dad prayed for me for years. They prayed and they prayed and they prayed. And finally one time they said, "Lord, here's Kevin. And we're laying him at the feet of Jesus. And whatever it takes to wake him up, we're willing to accept." And I'm telling you, that I have children of my own, and that would be a tough prayer to pray. To just let go and let God have control. It's not always easy to do. But they believed in God. They put all their trust and all their faith in Him. You know, and God intervened in my life. And I got into some problems that I couldn't get out of without His help. Funny how He works like that. Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We have to walk by faith. You know, I've given up too soon and had a complete crop failure. Anybody else? I have. I'll admit it. And as I'm standing here today, I've heard Brother Lyle say many, many times, "Don't quit one prayer too soon." Anybody else ever heard Brother Lyle say that? Yeah. Many, many times. So we are listening to you. We can't quit one prayer too soon. We got to keep praying. We got to keep bombarding heaven. Lord, you know, for your children or for whatever it is. If you need a job, whatever you're needing. You know, in Genesis 2:15, it tells us that then the Lord took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend to it and keep it. You know, we have to keep the weeds out. Sometimes the weeds overtake the garden or the field or whatever it is. I can remember as a kid trying to find the beans out in the bean field because the weeds had taken over. You can even see the beans out there. It's not so much that way anymore, but when I was a kid, you've seen that a lot, you know, that the weeds had taken over. You know, when a farmer, when he plants his field, he don't just walk away from it and leave it. You know, we check the crop. We drive by. When that corn's planted, I'll bet, I don't know how many times my boss will go by there and dig up the seed just to see where it's at. Probably 2 or 3 times a day until it sprouts. You know, just to check and make sure everything's going all right. Then after the seed's up, you go by and you check, make sure you have cutworm or whatever else in your corn. And, you know, it's a constant thing. You know, you're always out there checking to make sure your crop is going to be okay. You know, when the crop gets up and the weeds come out, this year was a terrible year for cuckleburrs. I don't know if anybody else had that problem. It was a terrible, terrible year for cuckleburrs. And they were so thick in places that we couldn't get the combine through it. It was that bad. It wasn't a whole field or nothing, but just an area here and an area there where the water stood, basically. You know, but you know where all them cuckleburrs were? There were hardly any beans. There was no crop. Nothing. And it's the same way in our life, in our spiritual life. When we let those weeds flare up in our life, we don't have a crop. We don't have a harvest. We don't have a harvest. So what are the cuckleburrs in our life? How much time you got? You know, it can be unforgiveness. It can be bitterness. It can be anger. It can be jealousy. What about negativity? I'm not good enough. I can't. My grandma used to say, can't never did anything. You know, these things, we have to watch for them to crop up into our lives. Because they will. And they still do in my life. I'm not saying I'm above any of this, because I'm not. But these things will crop up into your life. And they'll, if you let them take root, they'll take over. They will take over. It'll change your mindset, it'll change your thinking, it'll change everything if you let it. It's so important to gather in God's house with your brothers and sisters in Christ. It is so important to reach out to a brother that you don't see on a Sunday, or maybe 2 Sundays he misses, or a sister, or whatever. I can't tell you how important it is to reach out to that person. Don't just wonder why they're not there. Reach out to them. Say, hey, we missed you today. Because you don't know what's going on. Maybe there's some weeds cropping up in their life. I know that's happened to me. But thank God I had brothers and sisters that reached out to me. You know, they reached out and said, hey, we missed you today. You know, we had to water the seed. And in Psalm 67, it tells us, let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. Praise and thanksgiving, prayer and fasting, and reading God's word. That's how we water our crop. We have to stay focused on the Lord. And there's so many things in this life to distract us anymore, to take our mind off of the Lord. There's so many things going on. In Mark 29, it tells us, but then the grain ripens immediately, and he puts a sickle because the harvest has come. And the sickle is what they used to use. That was the old-fashioned way. But today we have combines. But our sickle for our spiritual life is the Word of God. You know, it comes out of our mouth. And our words of faith cut down the crop and bring in the harvest. We have to have the words of faith. We have to have words of God. We have to seek Him. What you say is what you sow. You know, once again, I was told as a kid, if you don't have nothing nice to say, don't say nothing at all. I didn't listen, but I heard it. Remember what I said about the planter being so important to the harvest? You know, because what you say is what you sow. And that's the way of the planter. Your words today will dictate tomorrow's harvest. Whatever you say today. So, what kind of harvest are you looking for? You know, healing? Blessings? a job, financial blessings, answered prayer. These are just a few things that came to mind when I was thinking about a personal harvest. We all have personal harvests. You want things, when you pray about something for a long time and it happens. You know, my mom and dad praying for me, they had a personal harvest when I came to the Lord. We are all called to sow, to cultivate, to water the harvest. In John 4:35, Jesus said, "Do you not say there are still 4 months, then comes the harvest? Behold, I say, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest." You know, we think that, you know, like in the agriculture community, we plant in March and April, and then we harvest in September. But you know, in the spirit, I can sow a seed this morning and reap it this afternoon. It's that quick. That's what that scripture is talking about. The fields are already white with harvest. We don't have to wait. Just have to wait on the Lord. Make sure we're doing it in His will. You know, this world is full of hurting people. It's just unbelievable when you look around and see the people hurting. And there's so many people, they try to find happiness in relationships or money. Money's a big one. Drugs, alcohol. They work all the time. Maybe boats, cars, motorcycles, whatever it is. They try to find happiness. And when we used to sing in the quartet, Brother Charlie used to say all the time that we all have a Jesus-sized hole in our heart that we try to fill with all these things. And the only thing that can fill that void is Jesus. But we're busy trying to fill it with all kinds of other stuff. How many of you as a kid ever sang that song, "This Little Light of Mine"? Remember that?
Yep.
"I'm going to let it shine." But we don't get to pick and choose where we let it shine. We have to let it shine to everybody. I was in the store the other day, and I'd seen somebody that I know very well. And they just kind of, I said hi to them. They did say hi, and they went off the other way. They didn't want to talk to me. But in my mind, I kept hearing, "They see Jesus in you. And they're convicted right now, and they're running from the Lord." So how do we treat them? What do we do? I mean, how do we treat people like this? People who aren't living for the Lord. Well, like I said, God doesn't love me any better than He loves them. You know, we have to show compassion wherever we go. We have to show respect. We just have to listen sometimes. I've worked with different people who have had struggles with alcohol in their life. And you know, 9 times out of 10, I never said a word. And that person would sit there and talk to themselves through that problem, whatever it was. They just needed somebody to listen. I don't know how many times I get a phone call and, "Can you meet so and so at such and such a place?" And they're really struggling with this alcohol problem that they got. So I go get my closet, get my Superman outfit. I'm going to go save the day. And then you get there and you don't say anything hardly. You just have to listen to this person unload all that junk out of them. And then you just remind them, let them know that Jesus loves them no matter what they're going through. And you pray with them. And you go home. It's just that simple. But here, I want to get my Superman outfit on and look what I've done. And I haven't done anything. We have to love them like Jesus does. You know, we have to gain their trust. We have no idea what they've been through. You know, I've sang a song here before about the little girl that was hiding behind the couch when her mom and dad was fighting. You know, and it's, you think there's a lot of that that goes on. And that little girl goes on to say in that song, though, that she finally got to go to Sunday school with her foster parents. And she recognized the picture of Jesus on the wall. She said, I know that man. Because he was behind the couch with me, holding me when my mom and dad was fighting. Anybody ever heard of Jerry Clower? He used to tell a story about where will you be when you get where you're going. And he was talking about him and his brother Sonny. He said they used to have rat killings back in the day. And they was out around the old corn crib. And they were killing them rats. He said there was a bunch of holes in the ground around there. And he said his brother Sonny got the bright idea that they was going to get the gasoline dumped down in them holes. And then they's going to light the gasoline to kill all them rats. So they did that, and he said they threw the match in there, and the biggest rumble come up out of that ground you ever heard. And he said all of a sudden, 500 balls of fire come running out of that hole. And he said they were running right towards a barn that had 5,000 bales of hay in it. He said that's one time in my life that I didn't know where I would be when I got where I was going. But have you ever been there? These people that I'm talking about, they're the ones that the harvest is white. It's ripe. It's ready for us, the workers, to go out and reap this harvest. And the world is full of them. Full of people. That they don't know where to turn next. They don't know which way to go. Galatians 5:22 and 23 tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's what we need to show. In 2 Timothy 3:1-5, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. It's time for us to stand up, and I'm not up here looking down on anybody. I'm talking to me too. If you're a Christian walking for the Lord, you're going to have room for improvement until the day He comes. It's just like our prayer life. There's always room for improvement in our prayer life. There's always room for improvement in our walk for the Lord. You know, anyone here that's old enough to remember the attacks on our country on 9/11, I can tell you where I was, what I was doing. I can tell you everything about that day. I can also tell you that my heart sank. A few men, in the name of their God, has changed our nation forever. A few men. And our nation will never be the same as it was before then, before 9/11. So my question is, why can't we, who live for the one true God, go out in His name and forever change our nation in a positive way? If a few men can change it for the negative, why can't a bunch of us go out and change it for the positive? You know, church attendance doubled after the 9/11 attacks. Everybody ran to church. Today there's like 32% of Americans or people in the U.S. that go to church. It's not very many. We've got to get the Word of God in us. There's too many Christians out there that can quote more scenes on television and commercials than they can Scripture. We have to be prepared for this harvest. You know, people say, well, I can't do it. You know, I don't know what to say. I can't talk to people. I can't, you know, let God use you. I can't do anything on my own. Let God use you. Humble yourself before the Lord and let Him use you. Didn't God use a donkey to talk to Balaam? If he can use a donkey, I'm not saying nothing about anybody, but if he can use a donkey, I mean, come on. Philippians 4:13 tells us that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things. Don't say some things. Doesn't say a few things. It says all things. All things. And in Acts 1:8 it tells us, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. You will receive power. I don't know if anybody's ever heard that song, but there's a contemporary song out there that says the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. You know that? The same power. So we have all the power we need. I heard Tony Evans say one time that when you go buy a new appliance for your house, you don't call the electric company and add more power. You've already got all the power you need to power that appliance. You don't need to add more power to your house. We're the same way. We have all the power we need. We just got to get plugged in. You know, sometimes we walk around, we're just not even plugged in. We wonder why we don't work. We've got to get plugged in. You know, Jesus wants a relationship with you. That's what He wants. For 25 years or more, I've met my dad almost every day for coffee. Almost every day. There's been a few days we've missed here and there, but for the most part. And I love it. I love meeting with my dad. My dad will be 82 next month. And I love sitting there. We don't really solve the world's problems. We just being with him. And I love doing that. And I wouldn't trade it for anything. I'm grateful that I have a job that I'm able to do that. You know, sometimes the work gets busy and I don't make it in there or whatever, but for the most part, I'm in there almost every day, but Sunday. We don't do it on Sunday. But you know, my son Tim, he calls me 3 or 4 times a week. Rachel calls me 3 or 4 times, maybe more a week. I talk to my son Travis a couple times a week. And I love that. I love talking to the kids. If I had my way, they would still be the age of my grandchildren. But I don't have my way, so. But I love spending time. And we make time in our lives every day for someone or for something. We set aside time every day in our lives. We should set aside a time for Jesus every day. And He would love it. He would love it. I don't care if you're 5 or 105. Jesus has work for you to do. One day, Kendrick came and drove the combine with me, and we were down in the bottom. We had 200 acres of corn in this bottom, and he wanted to drive the combine. So that's this little guy here. He's 3. Well, he's not heavy enough to hold the seat down and make everything go. So Grandpa had to sit on the edge of the seat to make everything work so he could drive the combine. Well, the fuel truck came and I said, well, Kendrick, I'll let you drive. You drive from here to the fuel truck, which was quite a ways across the field. So he gets on there and he's driving. I said, now point to that white truck up there. Okay. So pretty soon we're over here by the river. I said, no, Kendrick, white truck. White truck. So he gets it back over and he got all excited. He said, I did it, Papa, I did it. You know? And we're tooling along and here we are over here by the river again. Kendrick, white truck. White truck. And he did it. Got all excited again. I get to thinking about that, and how many of us, is that our life? We want to drive. But God has to sit right there beside us to make everything work. And we're driving along, and pretty soon God says, Kevin, white truck, white truck. back over and you say, I did that. I did it. I made an accomplishment in my life. I did it. Then he says, Kevin, white truck. Quit loading. White truck. You know, God took all of my junk and he recycled it. And he uses it now for his glory. He'll do the same thing for anyone. My past isn't a pretty one. But whenever I can share it with someone and connect with that person and draw them closer to God, God has recycled that and using it for his glory. So what's your harvest look like today?